Welcome to Manager Tools. Delegating meeting attendance when your calendar is too full. Part one, here we go. You know, Mark, one of the things I hear from managers all the time is they're concerned or they have problems with their, you know, inability to make changes because these changes take time and they have no time.
Right. They have no time. I have no time.
They're in meetings back to back.
I have no time.
Right.
Mark, our company is special. I'm special. I don't know if you know this, but I'm fully booked every day and I'm pretty much the only guy like that. Like, dude, are you smoking crack or something?
Exactly.
Everybody, that's all anybody complains about. I don't have any time.
Back-to-back meetings, right? You come into work at 7:30 and your meeting's until 7 o'clock at night and you have no time whatsoever.
Yeah.
So those people are, they're hosed, right? I mean, it's over.
Yeah. Yeah. So look, so this is the first part of our series about addressing the too full calendar. And there's a number of things we're going to talk about. We're going to have a cast specifically on back-to-back meetings. And the reason we're doing that, folks, is you're not alone if you have back-to-back meetings all day. And every once in a while, a meeting gets canceled and you didn't have maybe a half an hour after it scheduled. And so suddenly you realize you have 90 minutes or 2 hours on your calendar free in the afternoon. And all you get like a little frisson of like, yay, I'm so happy. and look, we're the same way, guys. The problem is too many of us. One of the ways you can address two full calendars is by changing your thinking that you yourself have to attend every meeting you accept onto your calendar. Guys, folks, you can delegate meeting attendance. And effective managers, and believe me, executives, do this all the time.
I bet you there are a number of listeners going like, oh my God, I never thought about that.
Yeah, well, let's get into it, dude, because you and I could immediately go off on 100 tangents.
Yeah, we could.
When we do this, one of the reasons I'm worried about this cast going long is because you and I can picture being in full days worth, you know, meetings all day kind of thing, and you immediately start thinking of organizational life. But look, here's the outline for this cast. You've got to make a decision, guys, first about which meetings that you attend are most important and least important. Now, if you immediately thought to yourself, they're all important, dudes,
yeah,
that's not an answer. The fact that they're all important doesn't change that there's still a hierarchy. This is one of the fundamental problems that individual contributors have when they become managers, is the idea that everything's important. Yes, it is, but that doesn't mean there's not a hierarchy, that there's not some that are more and less important. Okay, anyway, so the next thing you do is consider assigning a meeting as a step in every non-recurring meeting you're going to accept. Okay, and we'll talk about assignment versus delegation throughout this cast. Third, delegate recurring meetings to better performers generally. There's an exception. There are exceptions, but generally, better performers go to meetings you're going to delegate. The next point, and this is where get so many managers in trouble because they think they can't delegate it. Don't be afraid to step on the calendar of the person you're delegating to.
Mm.
Okay, just because people are busy, everybody's busy, but we have to make changes while people are busy.
Yeah, there's some managerial economics in there somewhere.
Yeah, then next, we're gonna give you some examples of how it might sound using the manager tools delegation model. And then the last point is, guys, sometimes you're going to do stuff and you're going to get overruled. Sometimes you're not. But the fear of being overruled is not enough to not do things, because sometimes fear is the false expectations appearing real. So sometimes you're going to be overruled, and that happens.
Okay, so deciding which meetings are most and least important. I tell you, every time we recommend this to a client manager, the first thing I hear is, well, there's some meetings I have to go to.
Yeah, and either they say there's some meetings I have to go to, or they say there's some meetings I have to go to.
Right, and of course that's true. That's not all of them.
Yeah, that's like saying, you know, Mark, eating and sleeping and breathing and drinking are all important.
Right. I have to do
okay.
them.
They are.
Therefore, I can't do anything else. Right.
However, there are days where you don't eat, and there are days when you don't sleep. Right? The problem with a lot of our thinking about time and schedules and calendars is that when we're frustrated with our busyness, we tend to see all meetings as a challenge and all meetings being equal. Because we're thinking in calendar and schedule mentality, and those meetings all take up the same amount of time, which is to say roughly an hour. They're all a pain. They all eat away at our ability to get our own work done. And we could have a half-hour conversation right now, which we won't, about the old comment of a working manager. Mark, I can't do that because I'm a working manager. Well, the problem with that, guys, is that you see yourself as a working manager, when in fact you should see yourself as a working manager. We'll talk about that some other time.
And we'll have to do another podcast on a different aspect of this, which is in some cases, folks aren't following some of our guidance around how to be an effective manager. And so they're always in a crisis. So of course, every meeting is important because every meeting is about a crisis.
Yeah, and because I'm always in crisis. I'm always in crisis, dudes. You can't help me. I believe my job as a firefighter. And I told somebody once, well, you believe your job as a firefighter. And they said, no, I don't. I said, yes, you do. Well, why do you say that? I said, because you just told me you're always firefighting. Well, I am, but I believe my job is not that. Well, what evidence do I have that you believe that's true? And they say, well, because I believe it. I said, dude, if you believe X, but you do Y, at some point, after a whole bunch of Y, you believe Y. You are what you do. Don't tell me your priorities are A, B, and C, and then tell me you spend all your time doing X, Y, Z. I can infer your priorities. Anybody analyzing you can infer your priorities from what you spend your time doing.
Yeah.
Well, it's clear. It's clear. Don't say you put your family first and then go home late every night. By definition, you're not putting your family first.
That's right. Too many of us actually enjoy fighting fire. Matter of fact, before we recorded this, I was telling Mark about a problem we had on Friday that just consumed my entire day. And there was a point during the resolution of this crisis, somewhat of a crisis.
No, it wasn't a crisis. Dude, it wasn't a crisis.
Well, okay. Right? It was.
Crisis is existential.
Okay. All right. So anyways, it was
an emergent problem.
There you go. And there was a point during this thing when I realized, literally I had a thought that went through my head saying, I am enjoying this too much. Like literally my body was on fire because I had, it's like, here's a problem. I'm going to fix it. Right. And I realized like, wow, that's not good. I shouldn't enjoy it as much as I did. And I think a lot of people, they fight fires all the time because that's what they enjoy. Anyways, we're going off in different directions.
Exactly. So here's the thing, guys. If we're going to start clawing back time for ourselves, for our priorities in our two full calendars, quote, two full calendars, unquote, we've got to look at our calendars differently. Rather than seeing them as simply an equal apportionment of time and thinking about time, we need to start thinking about priorities. And that's why we said in our casts about managing time and priorities, you don't manage time. Time doesn't need you to manage it. It's been getting along just fine for all millennia without you.
Right.
The difference is priorities.
Yeah, and some of those meetings are important relative to your priorities, and some are not.
Yeah, some are indispensable to help us get what we want done, including what our boss wants done, even if we don't think it's what we love to do. And some meetings, you can just not do. Now, there are people who are saying, oh, no, Mark, sorry, you're wrong. There are no meetings I cannot do. Actually, you're wrong. You are thinking that everything is a priority, so therefore you're going to go. But again, you're missing the point that there are levels of priorities within the priorities, and you're in pain right now. We're just suggesting you're going to have a different kind of pain. You're going to start getting more of the important stuff done, and you're going to get in trouble for not going to a particular meeting. Well, executives do that all the time. In fact, many managers we know get frustrated when an executive doesn't come to their meeting, and so they can't get the thing done they want to get done. Well, what they're doing is making choices about priorities. But okay, here's something to do. Take a look at your calendar for this week and the next 2 weeks, okay? We're getting into the meat of the cast right now. And make a list of all of your recurring meetings. By the way, if you don't have a lot of recurring meetings, that's actually a really good sign. It means your calendar is much more free than you realize. Okay, recurring meetings eat up way more time than people realize. Every hour-long meeting, if it lasts for a year, guys, that's a week of your time in a year. Every hour, each week, is essentially 1 week a year because there are roughly 50 hours in your work week and there are roughly 50 weeks in a year. That's the way to think about it. An hour a week recurring for a year is a week of your professional life.
That's a long time.
It is, dude. It's like, what could you do with the whole week where the world stopped and you got to work?
Oh, my God.
The first thing people would say would be the wrong answer is, I'd catch up on email. But anyway, so take a look at this week, next week, and the week after. Okay. And we start with recurring meetings again because we get multiple hours back. If we can delegate this week's hour, we get those multiple hours back. Okay, now, guys, your calendar software, whatever you use, whether you use Google or you use something in Outlook, I wish I had Outlook, or BusyCal or iCal from Apple or Apple Calendar, whatever they call it now. Be cautious of looking at this from a month view, which doesn't show you each day's entire day. Don't do that. Okay. Also, don't look at it from a week view. Same thing on your desktop computer, or even worse, your laptop. Okay. Also, be careful of guessing at which meetings are which, because their whole title doesn't show because of font sizes or screen sizes or whatever. I'll give you an example of how bad this is. When I ask for people's calendars, I have been sending the same note out. And I every once in a while, I send it out to somebody to check to make sure that if they follow it precisely, I get the response I want. And typically, one out of every 4 to 6 managers or executives sends back what I asked for because they don't know how to manipulate their calendar in the software to show me what I want to show, what I want to see in terms of analyzing it. Okay? When we look at calendars, guys, what we do is print out, and I say print out, PDF is fine, okay? You print out every day as a single day, okay, on one sheet of paper, not weekly, not monthly. Think of a grid in front of you on your desk, which is 3 rows tall by 5 columns wide. The rows are weeks, and the columns are each day in the week, Monday through Friday. Okay, so if I'm printing out this week, and let's say it's Tuesday, and the next 2 weeks, yesterday, the Monday of this week, is at the top left of my grid. And the Friday, 2 weeks from this coming Friday, is at the bottom right. The piece of paper closest to my left hand is the Monday 2 weeks from yesterday. The piece of paper furthest from my right hand up top of my desk is this coming Friday. Okay, again, assuming it's Tuesday. Right? Now, we go through each week, starting with this week, day by day. Start with Monday, then go to Tuesday, then go to Wednesday. This is really boring, but it works. Okay? And we write down on a different sheet of paper. You can circle them if you want on your grid, but I found once I circle them, then I need a separate sheet of paper if I have multiple recurring meetings. Okay. And what we do is write down on a different sheet of paper each recurring meeting. Start with Monday, look for meetings which are recurring, validate whether they are or are not based on whether they appear on the following Monday, Tuesday meetings following Tuesday, and so on. Now, you have to look forward a couple of weeks to be sure a recurring meeting wasn't canceled 1 week, and then you don't consider it in your plan. People do this all the time. Oh, I'm just going to look at this week. Well, the recurring meeting was canceled, and you took it off your calendar because your boss is on vacation, and now you miss a meeting that takes an hour, hour and a half, 2 hours each week. By the way, I used to teach this with start looking for big meetings, 2 hours, half an hour and a half, hour, and I discovered that those are just bonuses. If you have multiple 2, 2.5 hour recurring meetings each week, you'll know them, but you'll catch them this way by looking for recurring meetings as well. So you do this for this week, and then you go through the next 2 weeks. Now, if I find a meeting that's recurring on Monday, I'm going to circle it on each of the Mondays so that when I get to next week and start going through that week's calendar, each day, one day at a time, not the whole week's calendar. I'm not looking at one sheet of paper. I'm looking at 5 sheets of paper that are printed in portrait mode, not in landscape. Oh, and one thing further, adjust your calendar software so that it only shows you on the printed page like 7 a.m. to 6 p.m. If you show the full 24 hours, the meetings come too small and you can't tell what the meetings are for something that you agreed to for next Wednesday. Don't do that. Okay. And you may have to adjust the font size and you may have to get out your reading glasses if you're as old as Mike and I. This is how you have to do it. Now, look, part of the reason we don't do time schedules an awful lot with a lot of people is because they don't have admins. And managers are like, no, that's too hard. I don't want to do that. Hey, you got to spend some time getting better if you want to get better. So we're going through and we're making a list. Don't be surprised about your calendar becoming progressively emptier 2 to 3 weeks out. That's normal. guys. And by the way, that should tell you something about how to change your priorities, about how to get over the urgency by putting something on your calendar 3 weeks from now, because your calendar is empty then. And if you believe it's a priority, let the things that are less of priorities jockey for time among the less time that is unscheduled, because your priorities, including, for instance, one-on-ones, are taking up the most time. Okay, so now we've looked at all 15 days. Okay, there are some people who say, you know, I had to look at last week, because one of the things, Mark, I've discovered is that the previous week, my calendar for the previous week accurately shows the week. This week, if it's Monday or Tuesday and I'm doing this, or if it's Sunday night, is going to change by 30 or 40%. That's okay too. You can do that. I wouldn't have any problem with somebody saying, I'm going to do 4 weeks. It doesn't take that long. It actually takes longer to manipulate your calendar software in such a way that you get the printouts.
There you go. Yeah.
And there are some people who say, Mark, I look at one page at a time, and I printed them as PDFs, you know, and I open them in a PDF thing rather than I look at them on my laptop or whatever, and I have a single sheet. That's fine. I actually like physically printing them out because I can manipulate pages faster, and I can look at three pages at the same time held in my hands, physically printed.
I find it really hard to go back and forth between
and PDFs
on your screen.
Yeah, and you forget what day you're looking at. All right. So now what we do is we look at our list and we order that list in importance of helping you achieve your organizational priorities. Okay? For instance, the meeting you chair on project status for your biggest project, the one that has company-wide attention, that's a high priority meeting. It's not to be delegated to someone else to save you some time. The most important meeting perhaps you spend all week is your management of that project. The weekly meeting where you represent your team on somebody else's project, where you rarely speak, or where nothing gets done, or it's a poorly managed meeting, just to say most of them, that's a delegation opportunity. Okay? And now, some simple priority guidance to think about your priorities. Meetings your boss runs with you and your peers are high priority, not delegated. Your boss's staff meeting, for instance, not delegated. One-on-ones, even peer one-on-ones, can't be delegated. Meetings that a senior person officially chairs but never attends could probably be delegated. Meetings that a senior person officially chairs and actually runs it, maybe you can't delegate it. But you could assign attendance once a month to somebody, and you might want to your number two. Any politically sensitive meeting probably shouldn't delegate it, but don't try to drive a truck through that loophole, folks. Everybody says, oh, everything's politically sensitive around here.
Right.
Bull. It's not. You're just afraid. We're just suggesting we're going to switch where your pain comes from. And you're in pain. We know it. Okay? But if you want to get better and your pain always causes you to stick with what you're doing, doing the same thing over and over again, expecting different results, is the definition of insanity. Meetings that one of your peers outside of your boss's area runs, where you represent your area or department, can be delegated. Almost any meeting where you rarely contribute and or are not on the agenda can be delegated. Large teleconferences like 20 plus attendees where there's little interaction and frankly everyone is so clearly doing email while muting their phone can be delegated.
I don't have to delegate that one because in fact during the meeting I'm doing mail, so it's
yeah, because mail's
I'm really not at the meeting.
That's good. I never thought of it that way. If you attend a meeting for your team where you basically speak for them but don't have a deliverable yourself, you can delegate that to one of the people you're representing. They'll probably know more about it than you do.
Probably.
Look, guys, if you're in calendar or meeting hell, we'd be very surprised if there are less than 5 meetings whose attendance you could delegate. If you only come up with 1 or 2 meetings, you're letting your fear of getting in trouble rule you. Okay? You're being too timid. If you're struggling with an overburdened calendar filled with back-to-back meetings, it is far better to over-delegate and perhaps get into a little trouble and then maybe take back the delegation than it is to delegate one meeting at a time. Change your pain from the reality of not getting your work done to the possibility of getting in trouble for making time to do so.
Thanks, everyone. That's it. We'll finish this one up next week. In the meantime, have a great one. So long.